Morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I love to help people with their yards, design their yards. I'm a landscape designer. I love to put plants in certain places and make your home look beautiful. And we do that right here on Better Lawns and Gardens. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. I am so happy to have you back. I mean, I love you. Tom, so yes. Don't get me wrong, but we always love to have Teresa back.
Thank you so much. Well, Tom did a great job. You and him, what a fantastic team. So I do appreciate Tom covering for me, and I love having him in. And it is just the Florida right now, the weather is hot. Yes, we know it's hot. But it's so beautiful seeing all of these flowers blooming and just having a just driving down the road and seeing the wildflowers. The sky this morning, Lizzie.
It was gorgeous. And also, you're talking about the flowers blooming. I was, you know, doing some weed spraying out in my yard and then laying the mosquito dunks from Summit Responsible Solution. Yes, they are a sponsor, but I buy it myself. But I was laying all that out in the property, and I just happened to look at my, I think it's called the Texas basil bush.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And it has got the little purple flowers.
Yes.
Blooming.
Texas sage.
And there's Texas sage. There you go.
Texas sage.
What I call it, basil.
Yeah, whatever. That's okay. it's got soft mint green leaves.
Yes. Just beautiful. And they have the teeny little purple flowers, and they're like a violet kind of purple. And
yes.
It's just, I looked at it, and I'm like, man, you are just so beautiful.
Yes. So. Just appreciating the beauty out there. It's just wonderful. We're lucky to live in Florida. So a big thank you to Tom McCubbin. For hosting Better Lawns and Gardens last week. You had a great time, so I enjoy hearing it. We had a tropical storm form in the Gulf, and it went towards Gary in Louisiana, mm-hmm. but it's landed in Texas, and it's no longer a tropical storm, but it is dumping a lot of rain. And I'm just wondering if the red skies we're seeing is a little bit of that this morning. But also, we are going to have a hot weekend. But next week, it's going to be rain every day.
That's very true.
Throughout the whole state of Florida. So we are going to get about 6 inches over the next week. So good chance of rain. So I would go ahead and turn your sprinkler systems off. And even during the summer, just turn them off. Let your plants get used to the warm weather. This is a good time to wean your grass off of irrigation when we do get rains like this. So every place except Key West. Key West is going to have some rain the beginning of the week, but Key West, you're going to have a beautiful weekend next weekend. So I'm really looking forward to it. And then July 29th, we have a full bat moon. Florida, you know how I changed all the Florida moon symbols, right?
Yes,
so
she did.
Florida. We're celebrating this, so I changed it to July 29th at 10:36 a.m. We're going to experience the Florida full bat moon. July is in, it's in the North America when the bat moon, the bat nurseries in July are at their busiest as millions of young bat pups start to take flight this month. So the young bats have spent weeks clinging to their mothers or huddled in crowded roosts, but they're finally mature enough to go ahead and graduate to flying. So it's going to be a great opportunity for you to watch bats as they hunt for nocturnal insects, and we need them. So bats are wonderful. I love seeing bat moms.
Yes.
I love seeing them nurse their babies. You know, bats are mammals. And so the full bat moon, July 29th, 10:36 a.m. So that is really cool. I love doing that. So we are going to be talking about a little bit about art today, a little bit about gardening, or a lot about gardening, but a little bit about what I saw this week. I just came back from the Garden Walk Buffalo in New York. It is an incredible event. Now, it doesn't happen until July 25th and 26th. Today and tomorrow is when it happens. But we went a week early and got to see the gardens the very best of the gardens without having to be huddled in the masses.
Right.
Because they're expecting 75,000 people.
Oh, wow.
In 2 days.
Well, that's why it's good if, that's to go on the Teresa's tours that she has, her and Tony, because the fact that you do get this little, one, you get intimate and private, and it's not a huge crowd of people.
Right.
But you also get some of these little extras that a lot of people don't. And so if they were interested on any of these that are coming up, how would they find out the cost and to get on a list?
Our next tour is October, the Ethereal Gardens of New Orleans. And October is Halloween month. It's Tony's birthday. Halloween, you know, it explains so much. But it's just going to be a wonderful tour. But then we have all our tours for next year up. And so you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. We take small groups and we get into places that you don't normally get into. With my connections, we do very well. The Chelsea Flower Tour is always filled up. It's always popular. And next year we are going to be going to have afternoon tea in High Grove House.
Oh, wow. So if they're
King Charles's home.
Oof. Oh, I love that. So,
yes.
if they are interested, one, they're going to need a passport, and it takes a while for you to get your passport.
Yes.
So if you're interested, are they able to go ahead and sign up now? Or,
yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so
they can go to Art and Bloom Garden Tours. Some of the tours we do have wait lists on. So, but go ahead and let us know that you're interested, and we'll make sure you get to go.
Okay, yeah. So this is one that's very important that you need to do,
yes,
like within the next week or two, kind,
yes,
of get on that list and then get your passport going.
Yes.
So.
And we're going to be right back with your garden questions today, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. I have a big announcement that's coming up next. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Your garden questions are the focus today. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Remember to provide on your text messages your first name or your nom de plume and the city you can you're in, so I can answer your questions correctly, because it matters what part of Florida you are in.
Yes. So
let's go to Gordon in Plant City. Good morning, Gordon. How can I help you?
Hey, long time no see. I told your call screener I'm in Plant City, and not that it makes a big difference, but I'm just a little east of the city limits. I can reach over the back of my fence because I'm west of that trailer park that's in the city limits.
Okay.
But in any event, though, I have the most unusual question. You guys are normally all about helping plants live, and I'm for that. I love the idea of helping things live.
Uh-huh.
But the idea that I have facing is we have over half an acre. I have a push mower that's not self-propelled, and I've resorted to killing sections of grass that are high along the fence and over the septic tank to make my job easier.
Right.
And I have three choices. I don't want to run my three choices by you and get your thoughts.
Okay.
Not only on the effectiveness of the choices, but the wisdom.
Okay.
First choice is do nothing and just let the grass beat me up. Second choice is to go and get the Roundup and to use wisdom on applying it so that it gets way deep down there and not overdo it so that it burns the top and stops transport. I accidentally overdid it, and it was a little bit less effective than it should have been, and then the winter hit me. The third choice is one that my AI friends, is pretty bad when those are my only friends anymore, but anyhow, Gemini says, now, Gordon, go get you a gallon of vinegar, a cup of salt that you buy up at the store. You can put in the alcohol, that's optional. And the soap is very important to remove the, like the dish soap, to remove the sheen, the oily protection.
Right,
off of the
right, thing. Surfactant.
Actually, I use like a pint instead of I use like a double what my AI buddies were telling me. And so in any case, I put this stuff generously, and it seems to be pretty effective. But number one, between the two effective choices, the Roundup, which is industry standard, I believe.
It is.
And my concoction, which would be better long-term? And secondly, what about the wisdom? Meta AI, which is a little bit, you know, finicky and kind of Moody was saying, oh, no, you're going to kill it. The septic tank needs bacteria. And Gemini and Grok were saying, oh, Meta AI is just going off on a tangent and didn't think this through.
Right.
It's only an AI.
Okay.
We're
actually real.
So what do you think of both the effectiveness and the wisdom
of my
dilemma?
So Gordon, you have enough energy. You could get out and pull all those weeds. I'm just telling you, you're wearing me out here. but here's the thing, Gordon. So when the thing is that you want to make sure they don't come back. And when you're using vinegar and all the home remedies and it's going to come back. It's only burning the top. It's not killing the roots. Whereas the glyphosate will kill the roots. Okay. My suggestion, I got two. Okay. One is that you take and you put 5 to 7 inches, and you can just do it in little bits at a time, of mulch, pine bark chips down. That's going to block the sunlight. It's going to smother the weeds, and it's going to add organic amendments as it decomposes into your soil. Okay. And so, Gordon, that's going to be, I think, your most effective. Okay. The chemicals, it's just going to be as time consuming for the vinegar and, the alcohol to put down as it is the glyphosate. The glyphosate is more expensive, but it's going to do the job, and you're not going to have any weeds at all. The vinegar is a homemade recipe. It doesn't work as well or even at all. And so then the other thing is you can ask for a riding lawnmower for Santa. And then you could do that, and you could just ride around and drink the alcohol.
Well, maybe not the rubbing alcohol.
Not the rubbing alcohol. No.
Sure.
A beer. What do you think about that?
Well, okay. your faith is strong. I have one question about the salt. Jim and I pointed out that the salt would long-term make the soil uninhabitable. And I think that actually might be more effective long term. But if I ever wanted to grow anything there, grass or otherwise, it would be real hard to get it back.
It would.
But what was the mulch that you suggested?
Yes.
Would kill the grass, but it would make it where you could grow stuff later.
Yes. Yes.
It would keep the soil habitable.
I
kind of like my plan. You ever heard of the Dead Sea equals the salt sea?
Right.
It's because salt kills off things.
But I'm going to tell you, Gordon. It's going to be so expensive. You're going to have to put so much salt down on a half acre that it's just, you might as well just buy the glyphosate.
Right?
The salt.
Maybe I'll flip a coin.
Yeah, with the salt. So here's the experiment, okay? So here's the experiment. I want you to take a 20 by 20 area, okay, because you got that, or 10 by 10 area. I want you to put salt down on all of that, okay? And then do another 20 by 20 area, put mulch down on that portion, and then do a 10 by 10 or 20 by 20 of the glyphosate and see which one works best.
Which one lasts the longest?
Yes.
A few months, I might check back if I'm die from stress over all of this. But I love you all the same. Anyhow, though, I've run out of questions. If you can add anything, that's fine. But your experiment, Gemini, does the same thing. Why don't you do this and report back?
Right. Well, so the thing about Gemini is I found it to be wrong on many occasions. And even as I'm reading it, I'm going, no, that is totally wrong. And so it just takes what's on the internet and condenses it in a summary form and gives it to you. So it takes all the right answers and it takes all the bad answers, the incorrect answers, and puts it all and says, here, try this. So that's where you need to have a little bit of knowledge to know what you're reading on, Meta IA. And so I'm just going to tell you the vinegar is not a long-term solution. It's not a good solution. It's going to burn. It's going to damage it. It's maybe sick, but they're just going to come back in full force. It's not going to kill the roots.
Can I give you a tip on how to interact with Gemini that'll help him be more accurate? First, you want to put him in 3.1 Pro with extended thinking. Then you want to get Grok and Meta AI, and you want to have each of the two cross-examine the third and go back and forth and back and forth 5 or 6 times. And at the end of the day, they're going to suss out the truth. Now, it'll be difficult. But when you have three AIs in one caffeinated, sugar-injected person all arguing and cross-examining each other. At the end of the day, put them on full mode, too, not just flashlight.
Right. So let me give you a better solution, Gordon, okay?
Call Teresa.
Yeah, no, you can call me. But you just put in, get rid of weeds permanently, and then put the letters EDU. And that's going to put you in with every university article on getting rid of weeds.
Well, you're smart.
Okay.
The AIs have a challenge. Well, listen, you're totally right. When you go to Google, put site, full colon, EDU, and then put in get rid of the weeds permanently, and it'll restrict it to EDU websites.
Yes.
So that's exactly, I know what you're talking about, and that, I wanted to clarify it for your readers that didn't know that trick that you're talking about. In any event, we're so smart, we're the smartest cats in the world, but I'm still just a cat, so I need the help from my human counterpart.
There you go. I still think putting down mulch, and if you do it a little bit at a time, you can do it over the next year, and when you put down 3 to 4, that's going to keep the sunlight out. But if you put 5 to 7, that's really going to, you can put mulch or wood chips down, and that's going to be a good way to get rid of the weeds.
If I can get some mulch, I might check it out. That's a good experiment. I'll definitely put it on my thing to do list. Thanks a lot, Teresa. We love you.
Oh, Gordon, we love you listening. Thank you so much.
That was definitely very interesting, and that was actually some good advice. So,
yeah,
wow, I like
good
that
debate.
For both sides.
Good debate, yes.
Now, Teresa, you had something very interesting that you learned this week. What did you learn?
Well, I'm very, very excited, Lizzie. I learned this week that Better Lawns and Gardens has won, not one, but 2 Silver Laurel Awards.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Okay, now for those that don't understand that, what does that mean?
These are Professional Garden Communicators International. It's an association, a professional association of garden writers and TV, radio personalities, all kinds of landscape designers, everyone who communicates about gardening. It's a professional association. And in the category of speaking and broadcasting, I won 1 Silver Laurel Award for the show How to Grow Caladiums. And then I won another one for Best Radio Series or Radio Program for How to Prep for Fall in the wintertime.
Oh, I love this. So this is...
I mean, how to prep for winter. I'm sorry.
These two awards are for your knowledge over the years that you have had and you getting the information out to people through all of your works that you've done, whether it's been here in the station mm-hmm. or if it's been out at conferences or any publications.
Well, it's just regarding Better Lawns and Gardens. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really honored to receive it. And this puts me in running for the gold. I don't know if I'll win the gold award in August, but that's coming up. So I'm very, very proud.
Oh, you should be.
And you know what, Lizzie? I couldn't do it without you. We are such a great team, so I'm very honored to work with you, and I enjoy it. I love it. So
thank you.
We just have fun doing this.
We really do, and to be honest with you, we couldn't do it without our listeners.
We could not do it without our listeners.
They do a lot of sharing is caring, so if you don't tell others about Teresa
and Better Lawns and Gardens, yes. So I'm very, very excited. So today is all about you. We're going to get to the garden message. I'm going to sneak in a little bit of what to do in August. It's at the end of the month here. And so we'll be doing that in the next hour. But we're going to be taking your phone calls. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. Gordon was just an energizing buddy, wasn't he?
I just don't understand why he has a problem with getting the weeds and stuff out of his yard, because I'm like, this man has gotten so much energy.
He did. Yeah, definitely. He had a lot of energy, but I understand it's hot, and I do appreciate that. And so hopefully Santa will bring him a lawnmower for Christmas. If it's Saturday morning, from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can call me 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If you know someone who loves to garden or has a gardening question, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens, the award-winning Better Lawns and Gardens. Tell them to call in with their gardening questions. We'd love to help them, too, as well. Let's go to Eileen, one of our favorite callers. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing... You just wouldn't believe it. I dropped a large jar of relish on my foot.
Oh,
and I broke my toes.
You poor thing. I am so sorry.
No, I'm still getting around. Still, no rest for me.
No. But, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Are you in a cast?
All right.
Are you in a cast?
No.
No.
They don't cast your toes. They don't do anything.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, no. So how can I help you?
All right. My phenomenal lavender.
Yes.
It looks crispy.
I am so sorry.
Mean, some of it looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it, I got a couple of stalks that looks crispy.
Okay.
Now, Lizzie said she cut hers back.
Okay.
Do I want to cut mine back?
I would cut the crispy off, yes.
Okay.
Okay, I would cut the crispy off. But so now, when you're looking at a shrub or a tree and a portion of it dies, that's part that we could possibly kind of look to a root problem, okay?
Okay.
So that root portion of that plant possibly died. You said it's crispy, so it's not getting any water. Okay. You haven't fertilized it, right?
No, it's still in the black cow.
Okay, still black cow. Okay. So I would love to see it.
Okay.
So send Lizzie a picture of it.
I will.
But how often does it get watered?
Well, I watered it yesterday morning. I stuck my finger down in the dirt, and it was dry.
Okay.
So
how often does it get watered?
Whenever I think it needs it.
Okay. That might be a little bit not enough, because when you see the symptoms, when you see the crispiness, it should have been watered a few weeks ago so that it doesn't. So lavender probably, depending on the size of it, would need water twice a week, and if you're getting rain or you're hand watering, right? Tell me you don't have irrigation, right?
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
So that
I am the irrigation.
You are the irrigation. So
yes,
that may
ma'am.
Mean that it needs a little bit more water. And when you're hand watering, it's difficult for you to know how much to put down. Okay.
Right.
So I would just, for your own frame of mind, I would get a milk gallon jug, a gallon jug. And time how long it takes to fill that jug up, and that how many seconds, whether it takes a minute, takes 45 seconds, you know, or 2 minutes to fill it up. It should only, with your irrigation system, take less than a minute to fill it up. Then that's how long you water for. I would do 3 gallons of water per watering.
Okay.
Okay, on a 3-gallon plant.
Okay.
And that way, so you'll time how long it takes to water by filling a gallon jug up, then multiply that time by 3, and then that's how long you water your plant for twice a week if you don't get rain.
Okay. No, we have not had any rain.
Right. So, and with these temperatures, the heat has been phenomenal. No pun intended.
It's been awful.
It's been very hot. And so, you know, I would just check it every couple of days. Now, how's everything else doing in your yard?
Fine.
Okay.
Everything else is fine.
And so this is a new plant. You got it, what, about 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roughly. I can't remember.
Okay. I think it's been.
You're about right.
Yeah, it's about 6 months. So it's still not fully established. Okay. Because lavender grows in Spain. It grows in Italy. And, you know, we do have Mexican lavender, but you just, it can take the heat, but it needs to be watered, and it needs to be in soil. The black cow may be a little too much for it as far as the nitrogen goes.
Okay,
so you may want to add a little bit more organic amendments to it, as far as adding some pine bark, maybe a little bit of topsoil to it. Okay, but it definitely can take the heat. It's just got to make sure it gets enough water.
Gotcha.
Okay.
See, I was afraid to water it because Karen told me not to water it too much. So I was afraid to
Who's Karen?
Water it.
Mm-hmm. Who's Karen?
Karen from Peterson's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah. That's the thing where it doesn't need watered every day.
No, I'm not going to water it every day.
Right, but twice a week. But make sure you're putting down enough each time you water. You don't want to just do a little splash. Okay? So I would do the 3 gallons of water, you know, twice a week, and that will be fine. Go ahead and cut the crispy off, okay? Get rid of that, and you can cut it down at the bottom where it's dying. Okay.
And I also have some potting mix that I can put on top
of
it.
Yes. So. And just make sure you're not covering the top of the plant. You know, whereas
right
there at the crotch there area there. You want to see a little bit of the base. Okay. So don't cover it up all the way.
When I cut back the crispy part, will that grow back or not?
No, that probably if you cut it down to the base, it won't grow back. So it doesn't grow back, but it will send up more new shoots. Okay, so you're going to get more stems. Okay, but just not from those two crispy parts.
Okay, I understand. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
Let me tell you, you deserve the gold star.
Oh, I'm
100%.
You and Lizzie both.
We do. And thank you so much, Eileen.
And I missed you last week. I know Tom was there, but I missed you.
Oh.
Because I like talking to you.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Hope your toe feels better soon. Let me know what happens in a couple of weeks. Let me know how your phenomenal lavender does. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five this week are from all the beautiful gardens I visited in Buffalo, New York. And it's the top five offbeat and wacky art I saw. So number five, a 12-foot tall totem pole constructed with black bowling balls with white pins in a radius around the top bowl. It was wonderful. Number four, a work of art created out of garden tools that was all connected by pipe structure into two water features. This entire piece of art was painted matte black and in homage to the Russian immigrant artist Louise Nevelson, whose work is on display at the most famous museums around the world, the Guggenheim, Smithsonian, Museum of Modern Art, the Center of Pompidou in France, all over the world. It was wonderful. And it's in Jim Charlier's garden in Buffalo, so he's very famous. Number three, a hair salon painted styrofoam head filled with sedums and succulents as the hair. The colors were brilliant blues, yellows, greens, oranges. Some had sunglasses. They were very creative. Number two, eclectic artwork made from ceramic, glass, metal, porcelain, and other very strange materials. Just walking through the gardens, looking at all of these different pieces of art was amazing. And then number one, Buffalo has statues of buffaloes in every garden, practically made of every material, color, shape, and size imaginable, from 6 inches tall to real life-size 1-ton buffaloes in the gardens.
Oh, wow.
And so that it was just wonderful. You can go on to our Better Lawns and Gardens page in our Facebook, and you can see all of the pieces that I'm talking about right now for my top five. And I just love art in the garden. I think every garden should display something of your personality, whether it's a little sign, whether it's floating butterflies, actually having an actual piece of art. Being creative in the garden is wonderful.
Oh, I agree 100% because it stands out. It makes it your own, and then just it's there.
It showcases. Cool. Yeah. Art should be everywhere, and I love the big, huge sculptures in all the famous botanical gardens. I love to see Chihuly in the garden. And I just love art in the garden. And I think everybody should have a little piece somewhere that's in homage to the culture of art.
I agree.
1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680, like Linda in Zone 8B. So Linda's got two questions. She said in regards to July 29th, full bat moon. And yesterday at an office in Lake City, they had a box over a bat on their porch. Afraid of it, as they described in action, I told them I thought it was a baby. They wouldn't let me take a look. I attended a bat seminar on Halloween Day years ago in Texas, and it was very interesting. We got to hold and pet them, and it definitely changed our rabid attitude about them. And I agree. Once you see bats up close, they're not as scary, and they're quite gentle creatures. You do not want to go near them, but if you have a bat that's hanging around your house or is just, it's in your yard, stay away from it. But you can call animal control, and they will come and get it. Also, any of the Audubon or, animal rescue numbers will come and get them. So you want to be very careful. But rabies you can get from all kinds of creatures. You can get them from cats and dogs and raccoons and, you know, all kinds of wild animals. So you want to be very careful if you have a wild animal that lets you get close to them. That's not normal. And so they may be sick. So we just had some rabies alerts last month, I think it was, in Lake County. So you want to be very careful, but bats usually aren't a problem. I remember when I worked for Belk Lindsay's in Lake County at the mall when it just opened up, and there was a bat by the back door, employee entrance door. And I can understand being scared. You don't want it to land on you or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, if it does have rabies and it does scratch you,
yes,
or even potentially could bite you and you don't realize it. I mean, I know that there was a young man who died a few years ago, a young child who ended up picking one up and
yeah,
it bit it. And
yeah.
So
you want to be very careful. But bats, as a rule, are very good, and they're very necessary. They help us rid the environment of those pesky mosquitoes. So, wonderful story, Linda. Hopefully, they got someone to remove it. So, your other question is: she has 5 acres of cactus, and she's trying to remove them. She's tried to spray individually. She has the acreage sprayed professionally. She says she has a young man pulling them up by pitchfork, but it's too hot for him to be out there now. All suggestions greatly appreciated. Well, the prickly pear is a Florida native. We do find it in pasture grasses or large acreages. You do need to get the pads, those, each individual cactus pad, out of the ground. It can once it hits sunlight, it can grow over again. So it's just going to be a long, painstaking process. But once you do it, you should be completely rid of them. So stick to it and have the young man drink lots of water. Do it, take them out early in the morning or late in the afternoon, and just do a little piece at a time. You know, and just be very careful. Drink lots of water. I have to tell you, I have to tell Linda, I love her text messages because she decorates them with all kinds of creative emojis and symbols, and I love reading them. So, Linda, I love that. Thank you so much. She's been a loyal listener for a long time. If you have not gone to our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and if you'll like it, we really would appreciate that. Give us some support, and then tell all your friends about Better Lawns and Gardens. That will be great. You could also sign up for the free app to listen on iHeart, because we have sometimes people say, I can't hear you, or a station's down or something. Mm-hmm. And it happens, Lizzie. Sometimes stations go down.
Yes.
And so how do they get the app?
Basically, they just search iHeart Radio and then they download the app. It is for free. And then the best way, if you want to listen to us actual live at that moment, if you search WFLF. You'll be able to find us listening to us live. But if you want to do a recap and you're not able to listen to it live, you can always go to betterlawns.com and you can listen to all the podcasts there.
Exactly. That's it too. So we, are going to have, a wonderful second hour. We can't wait to talk to you. What can you be doing this time? I'm going to sneak in a little bit of August. Okay, so right now, you should have your seeds started for your eggplants and your peppers and your tomatoes. You can also start your seeds for endive and kale, your tomatillos, and tropical spinaches. Tropical spinaches take the heat. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that in the next hour. But then you can also plant seeds, your bush beans, your lima beans, your pole beans, your carrots you can start. This is a time to get your seeds, because the fall garden, you're going to be planting at the end of August, first part of September into September. And if you start your seeds now, you're going to be ahead of the game. Plus, it's less expensive than buying the 4-inch or 1-gallon pots to transplant in September. So you want to save money. And if you have extra seeds, you can always share them with your neighbors, your church groups, your garden clubs will love them. I had one of the garden club members give me some of their okra seeds. So I'm excited about that. And so they're sharing that. And we can grow okra all the way through into the fall. So I am thrilled with that. So this is time to get your seeds. If you wait longer, you wait till everything's, ready to go into the ground, you might not be able to get the exact seeds you want. So now is the time to do that. My favorite plant catalogs are Rare Seeds, and then the Burpees catalog, also to American Meadows has great seeds as well. So
yes. And this time of year, I mean, some people laugh at me. I've had people tell me they think it's silly. But if you have the opportunity, you need to go online. You need to purchase your frost cloths.
Yes.
Now,
yes. Now.
I'm telling you, by the time September rolls around, it still is going to be hot. But they're going to run out. And then when it does actually get cold, it's going to be crickets.
Yeah, it's going to be crickets. It's going to have time delay getting new cloth in. And so it is a good time to go ahead and buy it and purchase it and have it ready, because last year we got really, really cold. I'm hoping it's not going to be the same this year. And with the El Nino, I don't think it will get as cold, knock on wood. I hope I didn't jinx it. And but we should have a good winter this year, which means it'll be nice and it'll feel good. We're just not going to have the extreme freezes. So hopefully We'll check back on our New Year's show and see if that really happened. Tom and I will discuss it. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.